the Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sukadev asked me to talk a little about my activities and my service. I know some of you had some questions going to ask, so do you want to just ask some questions first and I can talk later, or talk a little when you ask?
That's just really well. Recently I've met quite a lot of Americans, young Americans. I found them very open and friendly and everything else. They own book distribution system and they generally buy books. So it seems, you know, maybe we had some bad PR in the past, but in America anyway, is it still like blue? Is it blowing
over? But it blows over in the sense that when kind of came on the scene, people felt threatened by something strange. And when that generation sort of faded into the background a little more, the new generation grew up when we were already there. There wasn't anything threatening to them because we were already part of the scenery. So they don't have attitudes, negative attitudes, really. And so in that sense, things change. They do, especially in the younger generation.
That's the ones that make the progress.
They are. You find it's true pretty much everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. High school students come in busloads to see the Washington Museum, Air and Space Museum. Our Krishna Fest band plays there in front, and they all come and dance. Some of them haven't really done that much about this. Most of them don't, but they chant and dance with their own. Teachers join sometimes. Chanting.
The Prabhupada said, first of all, they'll love us, then they'll hate us, then they'll love us. So maybe, hopefully, we're going towards the third stage.
Hopefully.
We'll see.
They do. I've been in Germany for the last couple of weeks. I was there for about 2 weeks. And you can see a radical difference there. Because there was a time when you were very much suspect by everybody, even feared. It's quite a marked change in the last 20 years. People seem very open. After a while, they see that Hare Krishna devotees are, first of all, that they're staying, and that they get a sense that they're doing something good. A little bit, they have an idea. They don't know what it is, but they feel that they're doing something positive. So maybe I should give a little background of what my service is. To answer your question, give a little background. We stopped calling the service public affairs and public relations. Pretty much we stopped using that. Some of you know we're calling it communications because it's a more exact, it's a more precise term. When we try to convey an idea about Krishna consciousness, we want to get all the people to understand what our mission, our goals, and our philosophy is. At the same time, we also want specific groups of people to understand what our mission is. One group is the devotees themselves, ourselves, and our extended, what do we call it, the extended community, and then maybe there's the vegetarian community, maybe there's the Indian community, maybe there's the New Age community, the environmental community, and a few other groups like that who appreciate a lot of what we're doing. So to communicate Krishna consciousness, we've been stepping back and analyzing what things need to be done in a systematic way to get our philosophy across. And certainly three of the things that Prabhupada specifically instructed us to distribute in order to get our message across were books, the holy name, and prasadam. So we've been doing some research to find out through Prabhupada's books, his letters, his conversations, and lectures, and with an emphasis on the books, because those are the things that Prabhupada really gave us as his legacy more than anything else. The letters and the conversations are very important in the lectures, but the books, because he wrote them, where he set the constitution for the future of mankind, are the most important things to research. So in the course of that research, and discussing with other devotees, we tried to understand how we could best communicate Prabhupada's teachings using these and other methods. So we, in the United States, were fortunate to be able to contact and contract with a professional counseling agency who specializes in counseling and communications, nonprofit organizations. We researched and found them to be the best among many such people. These people are kind of like lawyers. They get paid by the hour, usually. And sometimes it's as much as $700 or $800. It's £400 or £500 per hour, just like the lawyers do. They get a lot of money. The difference is that with these types of counselors, one doesn't have to use them over and over and over again forever. But you can learn from them. And then after a few months, you can just use them sparingly. So this one organization has been helping. And the funding has been coming from the ISKCON Foundation, which is getting its funding from devotees and members of our extended devotee community, some life members. And they were surveyed to start out. It started out as a fundraising, simply straight fundraising to get more money so that all the temples could get out of debt, do their major projects, renovate the temples, have festivals without financial strain and get on a good, solid financial footing. This is what the idea was. So they engaged the foundation people, headed by Navin Krishna, a fundraising agency, which are really community-building agencies. And this one also dealt only with nonprofit organizations. So the first thing that was done was a survey was conducted among the extended devotee community and life members, friends of the movement, who had helped ISKCON some way in the past before, who are committed to see ISKCON be successful. So they were asked, what would ISKCON need to do for you to give major amounts of money, major gifts on an ongoing basis? What would be on your wish list to see ISKCON do to satisfy your needs so that you could give large amounts of money? Many of these people were capable of giving substantial amounts. So, anyone want to guess what the first thing they said was? Food distribution? No, not one of the first. It was up there, but wasn't the first one.
Books.
No, not books. Not temples. Remember, these are people that were asking to give large amounts of money to us. Spiritual health, that was there. The thing that they said most universally was that they wanted to see good and consistent management with regular financial reporting. If they were to give large amounts of money, they wanted to be sure we were abiding by proper management principles, that there was reporting on where their money was going to be going, that the managers were consistent, that they wouldn't be changing every so often. They wanted to see the same people there. So that was the first thing they wanted. Second thing, because this was about two-thirds Indian devotees, but also the American devotees said the same thing. They wanted to see some sort of ongoing way that their children could maintain Krishna consciousness, not just a Sunday school or school, but something that they could actually get engaged in Krishna consciousness with, that their minds and their emotions could be constantly stimulated, that they would feel a part of the world, that they would be enthusiastic to take up the process of devotional service, just like the temple devotees were. They wanted to see that. And the third thing they said they wanted to see was that ISKCON's reputation would be higher if they sense that there's still hesitation in the American public. And this holds them back. They want to be out there serving Prabhupada and developing the philosophy. They want to see people take up Krishna consciousness, but they felt that unless they saw something that was very substantial and well underway, that they could see would be changing the way people thought about and behaved towards ISKCON, that they couldn't feel they really wanted to put their weight behind ISKCON and push for it. So those are the three things that the survey revealed, were the essential things that they wanted to see done. So because of that, one of the biggest budgets to start this whole process was for what the people in the fundraising industry call friendraising. Fundraising means you have to have friendraising first. So that was allotted in order to build a reputation, and therefore we contracted these professional counselors, communications counselors. So essentially what we worked out with them, we had several consultations, was to decide, first of all, who we were trying to reach in addition to the general public. We named all the different audiences, the core devotees, the extended devotees, the specialist groups, the children, and so on. And then the second thing is what we wanted to say to them, actually the first thing was who they were. Then the second thing was, how do we want them to see us? What do we want these groups to do? How do we want them to behave towards us, and how do we want them to see us? And then the next thing we analyzed was, how do they now see us? Each of these questions had a big list of the different perceptions that we thought of as we talked for hours and hours with a group of about 10 devotees and these counselors. Then, what do we want them to do? How do they perceive us? How do we want them to perceive us? What do we want to say to them? What's in the way of changing their behavior? What strategy should we use? What sorts of symbols? And then and the last thing is, what plan of action should we adopt to see that these groups get our message and change the way they behave to this kind? So we went through an analysis with all the different publics. And one of the things we had to do in the beginning was establish a universal statement of what ISKCON is and what it wants to do. Before, our universal statement had been something along the lines of, Krishna consciousness is a cultural movement for the re-spiritualization of human society, as Prabhupada said that on occasion. So we thought and thought, and we gave some additional augmentation to that. And we came up with something along the lines that Krishna consciousness solves all the individual and spiritual, material and spiritual problems of the world, individually and collectively, with spiritual solutions. And then we talked about what the major problems were. We listed them in priority. One of the first ones was ethnic and racial conflict. Then we had peace of mind, health and fitness, good family life, disease, crime, drugs. We went down a list of the environment, various issues of the day, that we could say that we were providing solutions for. Then as we crafted messages for each different audience, we drew on this statement about, of course, hunger. That was up there. That's one of the big issues. We drew upon a statement and fashioned specific statements as to what we want to say to each one of these audiences. And after doing a lot of analysis, hunger was, I think, number two or three. It was a big issue. That was something that we gave a lot of emphasis to. So the idea is to not just change the attitudes, but actually to change the way people behave towards us. Now, in this, these systems of communication, in one theory, there shouldn't be great dependence on the mass audience. We shouldn't have to depend on the media for our reputation, not completely. But since we are so controversial and so colorful and so cultural, such that when we do things that ordinary people do, I mean, our ordinary things, like having festivals and just being in a temple and going harinam, our ordinary things are very attractive. I don't necessarily mean that's always positive, but they attract attention, and they definitely attract the media attention. Whereas a company that's selling soap, it will go about its daily business, and no one will really notice it. They have to send out a lot of news releases, stage events, and do all sorts of expensive things in order to get attention. But we get a lot of attention. So since we're already getting a lot of attention, it's imperative that we learn how to deal with the media. And maybe as much as 35 or 40% of our communications has to be spent on honing that skill, becoming more and more proficient with it, because it's, whether we're trying or not, we're already getting the exposure. So while we're trying to communicate messages to all these different audiences, a large amount has to be dedicated to learning how to deal with these media, different organizations. When Mrs. Kinnock came, we had a lot of coverage, because the devotees here, they've learned a lot of skills, especially at the manor. And probably we got more exposure in the history of our movement, except for maybe when Prabhupada first arrived. It was on the front page of so many national newspapers. But that's done because the devotees here, a few, have become very expert with dealing with the media. And this became a very high-profile event. So what I'm coming around to saying in answering your question is that as far as that mass audience is concerned, we did a lot of surveys, and one major survey, we interviewed a lot of people in the media, and their attitudes were fairly neutral. They didn't have biases against us or for us either way. And a few of them knew about our food program, and the one thing that they all did say was positive was our food culture, whether it was a restaurant or Food for Life. So as far as the masses have gone, are concerned, and what we've been able to actually research in Prabhupada's books, is that he definitely wanted emphasis on his program, the Food for Life. And the experience has been that whenever we apply the proper principles of media relations to the Food for Life program, if it's an actual Food for Life program, it's up and running with committed workers and volunteers. This is what sets the scene for ISKCON being a benevolent organization. This is a way that the mass of people can begin to see ISKCON as a group of people that are not only saying they're doing good to society, not only trying to do good to society, but actually are doing good to society. So this is very important for us as a basis. Prabhupada made many statements that back this up. So if somehow this type of program can be made more pervasive with more committed people working on it, and the media relations program goes side by side along with it, then we develop a sense of appreciation. And Prabhupada even told us once that if people just think this is a good movement, this will begin to change all of society, and this will be the beginning of their path back to God. So it's a very important program for all of us. And certainly it's something that will not only increase book distribution and gain appreciation for the Harinam, but it will encourage people to read books, the books they've already gotten. It will encourage them to buy more books. When they read the books, they will be more inclined to act upon the philosophy of the books, just to maybe visit a temple, to engage in some form of devotional service. And similarly, when they see the Harinam, they're more inclined to appreciate it, more inclined to take the mantra as something serious. It's actually doing good for society, not just a way to tempt people into our society, which a lot of people think. So as far as communications goes, at least for the mass part of communications, this is a very important program. And it's very important that people understand, as we do it, why we're doing it. We're doing it because we see hunger as a spiritual issue. Prabhupada made a very clear statement that at least half the hunger problem is due to exploitation by the rogues. And therefore, he made these statements why we have to feed people. Everybody, it's our secret weapon. So we're giving great emphasis to this. And the people who we surveyed, they were also of the opinion that this should be the program we do mostly in the public eye for the media. It should be Food for Life. And many of them want to support it. In fact, I would just learned that the Hinduja family, don't know who they are, I think. Anyone not know the Hindujas? Seventh wealthiest family in England. They spontaneously, unsolicited, asked to sponsor a big Food for Life event here on the 18th. And their daughter will be out serving prasadam there in London. And even in India, people tend to think that Hare Krishna movement is kind of selfishly oriented. They just want to build up more people in the ashram, have bigger festivals, more money. But when wherever the Food for Life program goes out, as it does, every day in Calcutta especially, we see this in Bombay, this idea that we're being selfish is completely obliterated. And even in the Vedic culture, where people might tend to be a little bit suspicious of us, what's left of the Vedic culture, they also develop appreciation that these are selfless people who are doing a good thing. So we see this as an important foundation, the Food for Life program. It's building a foundation upon which all the other programs can grow and be of increasingly higher quality. So Food for Life, it has to be done with understanding and has to be good quality. Ghee is important. Education that goes along with it for local people, because they're beginning to appreciate Krishna consciousness. They can be taught how to buy inexpensive but wholesome food and cook it. This is what some of our Food for Life programs are doing. In New Zealand, where Food for Life is very much respected, the devotees were given a $20,000 grant from the lotteries board. They give $1 million a day away. And they thought that our cause was worthy, so they're going to, if they said we applied again, they would give us more. So these are the kinds of, some of the side benefits that improves our relationship with governments, which we need, improves our relationships with the media, with our own devotees. So it's very much a kind of front-running public program. Is it going out from here to Food for Life? Nana? Yes. It depends. Khichdi is universally appreciated, especially if it's done with ghee and butter. Everybody likes it, especially in India and Calcutta. That's the main staple. But whatever's cooked with ghee, any kind of vegetables, rice, people like it very, very. They become very attached to anything that's cooked nicely with ghee. And especially if it's properly offered, the whole thing actually becomes a spiritual experience for the people. They develop a deep respect and love for the devotees when they take this prasadam. So it's important that it's good. And there's no real fixed menu, but whatever is available, whatever's cooked nicely, and whatever can be nicely offered to the deities. In general, we try to maintain a high standard as far as possible.
Since the Generate Food for Life program goes, at least in this country, to downloads, I was just thinking if we could at least use some of it to go to universities and right. People like that, people at least has benefits, probably doesn't.
I don't know about more, but definitely it's important because it should be a broad program. And for people who, especially students, they appreciate getting either a free or a low-cost meal. The longest running such program has been the University of Florida in Miami. And we've seen the benefits, people who we meet as highly placed persons 10 or 15 or 20 years later have done us immense favors because they remember that we fed them when they were at the university. There's been some amazing stories that have happened there. In Australia, and I think some other places, devotees have what they call budget restaurants where people can come in Australia for $4 and have as much as they want to eat, big 5 or 6 course meal. And for $2, if they have concession cards, if they're seniors or students or disabled or something else like that, they can get the same thing for $2. And in Melbourne, they serve 400 people every day, 6 days a week. And they're very well known for that as being good people. And just down the same road, there's the Govinda's restaurant, which is a little more upscale, upmarket restaurant. And maybe only 80 to 100 people come in there every day. It doesn't even make as much money. It's very important. Another one in Perth. Yeah, budget restaurant in Perth. And they also do a Food for Life program at the same time. This also happens in Leningrad. St. Petersburg. They had the Sankirtan Cafe, which was selling prasadam at a very reasonable price. And then about a year and a half ago, they decided to waive the prices and just ask for donations. And their income increased by 40%. And it's still like that today. In fact, when I was there less than 9 months ago, there were people standing waiting inside, just waiting for tables to come in so they could sit down. So it is important. But at the same time, it's important to feed the poor and the homeless. In the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, there's a, where Chaitanya insists that at the Anakuta ceremony, there'll be all of the beggars and the poor at prasadam. So the idea is that they're not to be left out. When Prabhupada said, no one within 10 miles, we shouldn't discriminate. But at the same time, not discriminating means we should be able to feed all kinds of people who will take advantage of it. In Manchester, Krishna Dharma opened a little Krishna's shop, and it's called Krishna's Cafe and Shop, which is free for people to donate. It's a free little shop, and it's a mixture of students and deprived local people. So that's definitely an important part of the life. It's beginning to 50 a day, I think. And they also sell ahimsa, cruelty-free foodstuffs and cosmetics there, which people buy. And they like it. We talked to some people that came in and were very thrilled that it was in the middle of it everywhere. Internally? Well, that's kind of what people, when they said good management, they wanted to see, especially financial stability and financial reporting. So that's a first principle, and it requires training because we don't have any real. We've got some good managers, but on the whole, throughout the whole movement, because there's not been any management training like there's been training in other areas, we've suffered from lack of good management. Probably by January of, by the Kartik season of 1993, at least one management and leadership course would be taught at the BIEG, with the idea that it would be replicated around the world, and there would be the one-year management courses would also begin. So it takes training. It's not easy to manage the spiritual. It's not easy to manage anything. Spiritual movements are even more difficult to manage in many ways. So since the VIHE is beginning, They've started to teach counseling now, Ayurvedic medicine, Kurma taught a cooking class in January. And it's opening up to different areas now. So management will start, this is what Burijan, the headmaster there, is very keen on. He wants to see the management and leadership classes begin and start going out all over the world. Basic principles that they're trying to work on in America are financial reporting, standardized accounting systems for all the temples in North America. The temple presidents and GVCs are meeting every 3 months now. They're developing advisory boards to help them with the management, to get them a little bit more involved. So a few things are in place at the same time that are looking good. It will help. Over the next year or so, they should make some significant differences. One project I wanted to mention that we're working on now is, since our time's a little short, is a video news journal, something along the lines of the ISKCON World Review. The first one is done, or it'll be done in a couple of days. And probably have some copies over here for you to see, but it's a half hour. This one is 27 minutes long, and it contains news events of ISKCON and some interviews with devotees, things that were taped from television reports, news reports. And we go to Vrindavan, to Singapore, to Mayapur, Japan, and Poland, the Soviet Union. And we hope to keep a good global perspective on it. And our plan is to bring it out every 2 months. So we're very encouraged about the progress of this. It's beginning to look very good. And we hope to be regularly getting some. I spoke with Mitila, the other thing, Mitila, will be sending videos from here regularly. And it will consist of events, the TV news reports, the print media, clippings will be scanned, live interviews with devotees and other people. And it was a big endeavor to get it started. And I hope we'll be able to do a good job. It'll take probably a few, two or three of them to get it down to where it really looks completely professional. It looks quite good, what I've seen so far.
How many ISKCON World Reviews do you print?
Approximately six a year.
How many?
Six a year.
How many?
Oh, copies?
Yeah.
8,000 was the last print run.
Increasing?
It's increasing. So one of my GBC mandates is to form continental communications committees in different parts of the world. That's why I've been traveling a lot in the last year to try to get these set up. And we just have to do South America now. We've got most of the other ones. South and Africa. The idea is to bring a committee together that will meet at least two times a year and begin to develop communications procedures along the lines we've been describing, or whatever's suitable for those regions. It's a little bit amorphous, but it means doing a lot of research in Prabhupada's books and researching the field of communications and trying to blend them together and develop our ability to get Krishna consciousness across to the public. We're planning a course in Vrindavan at the VIHE, which would be essentially workshops this year, writing, teaching people how to write for IWR and VTG, teaching them how to use the video camera, a still camera, and how to be interviewed on television. Do a 4-week course with experts in the field, teaching about 4 or 5 days each topic. And hope to bring that out to other areas, other parts of the world. Anything else? Sorry we couldn't make it for class this morning, but we were up to about 1 this morning. Sometimes when you're traveling night after night, your schedule gets a little bit thrown off. But when I'm back, we'll definitely get class. Just it was in order of things. So are a lot of you distributing books here? Do you travel and then come back from that? ITV just released some new videos of Prabhupada, which are, most of them haven't been seen yet. About six or seven hours. So if you get a chance to get these, they're definitely worth seeing. When Prabhupada first took an airplane flight from New York to San Francisco, his arrival there was videoed. I didn't know it was filmed. Apparently it's filmed. I forgot the film. The devotees greet him at the airport. Allen Ginsberg was there. And there's some footage from 1967. That was the year he came. Shortly after he arrived, I'm chanting with the hippies in Golden Gate Park. A lot of nice things. It's ITV has it now. It's available. Anita would be able to get it. They just came out about a week ago. Mostly colored. A lot of Prabhupada in India too. The only thing that's not so good is that it's not live sound. It's just mostly amateur phone people. They didn't have a microphone, so they just had Prabhupada chanting in the background. It's still well worth watching. Okay. It's very, very good. Hmm? Right? Yes? Color. No, it's color. There's only one or two that are black and white. Just color films have been out since the 40s, I think, or before. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.